Welcome to Hollis Fright. I'm Ezra Royal.
And I'm Heaven Williams.
And in today's episode, we have fun things to talk about. So we're going to be talking about
Fear of the Walking Dead Season 8.
I don't know why my mind just went like I could not remember that title whatsoever. So we recently watched this about 2 weeks ago. I think we watched the final season. And we started watching this show beginning of this year?
The end of, like, December.
The end of December? Last December?
Yeah.
So it's been about a year we've been watching it. And I am so... So in this season, we finally figure out who Padre is. So Padre was a really big thing this season. And it was also last season, but it was really big this season because we finally got a lot of, like, backstory to it, even mm-hmm. flashbacks.
Yeah.
And I honestly, it was weirdly predictive. It was really predictive. I'm not going to lie to you.
I feel like it was, like, rushed a little bit. Yeah.
Which, weirdly, in a lot of, like, TV shows nowadays, that's a very common factor. Things... Final seasons, no matter how many seasons they've had, the final season always feels rushed because they really try to wrap up all the little storylines that they try to do.
In one season, yeah.
In one season. Instead of, like, if they're preparing to shut down a season or two ago, which is what I feel like most shows should do.
Yeah.
But this one did feel a little bit rushed. We rediscovered a lot of old friends and foes, and we made a couple new ones.
Yeah.
We've seen some die this season, which I think fully encompassed the fact of their morality and their person. And obviously it's going to be spoilers in this, but let's just go ahead and get into that one. Because I feel like this is the most significant one since it's one of the oldest problems that occurred.
Troy.
This, not Troy.
Charlie.
She was one of the more significant ones because she was like, she was generally our first real situation problem that is still like, still everlasting.
Yeah.
Which is figuring out if she truly has changed, like if she truly has became a new person. And I was so happy to see Charlie number one. I was so happy to see that she didn't die.
Me personally, I don't know. I just feel like I held a grudge on her for some reason. But even though she proved her point and like proved herself, even before she got up with Madison again, like, I don't know. I just still had this grudge. She just gave, like, a very annoying character that was just always there to me. So I was just like, oh, here go Charlie.
I don't see that, like, perspective. I get the idea. Because I'm not going to lie, the first time we seen her in the baseball park area was very annoying.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't annoying. It's just the way that she was handled in the story. I won't say put in the story. It's the way she was handled throughout that portion of the story. And how I felt like they could have did a little bit more with it in the sense of they could have made the people outside a bigger villain. Because Alicia, Madison, all of them, Victor, have dealt with bigger issues than some people outside who are just sitting around getting food before they can get food. Like I feel like this shouldn't have been such a problem as it should have been. But that's for another story and talk.
And but also, I think that Madison, she was like just betraying Charlie to be a bad person because she killed Nick. But we have to also think that Charlie was a whole victim.
She was. She was a very huge victim.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I wish Madison, out of all people, would kind of get.
Yeah.
Because with your son being the way he was, at the end of the day, you still knew he was a good person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I said this during the episode viewing that when we were watching it, when we first got back to her. I felt as though it should have been a red flag once they found out the truth. Like, yes, it was a betraying thing, but also this is a little girl who's just told to go into the situation.
Right.
She didn't really owe y'all no trust. But number two, I would have immediately felt bad for her, despite her trying to set us up, because they're just throwing her in this predicament situation. She had no fighting skills, really.
Right.
All the skills she had was hiding.
Yeah.
These people could have done or tried to do anything to her.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they're just willing to kind of like put her on a little rope and like sacrifice her like that really just to me would scream, you are being played, used, and abused, babes.
Yeah.
I know I'm mad at you for kind of how you set up, but at the end of the day, we should have had a better venting process. Yeah. And this is a big issue in the Walking Dead series as a whole. They let so many people into their settlements without having a venting process. And then the actual people that they most of the time they don't need to let into their, they should let into their settlements. Yeah. They end up being like, we can't just let anybody in here. But they'll be the people that want to help them. And I know it's bigly due to story and plot.
Yeah.
But in logic wise, it does not make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Because they're quick to let somebody in who we already know is going to be the villain because they let them in too quickly. Like, it's just
duh.
But the people that they don't need to let in, or they do need to let in, it's like, we can't trust anybody.
Yeah, like, they get suspicious over barely nothing.
And you would think, okay, well, maybe it was good experience. But it's like, no, they do this 6 seasons later, 3 seasons later. And so, to me, it's just always crazy. And I wish, like, I know it's to help draw a plot, but we have to find a better way.
Yeah.
Because at this point, our characters are not making sense. Sorry, I put my phone down to disturb. But yeah, the characters are not making sense for anything.
The way Charlie went out was very respectable to me. Like, she was very dedicated to proving that she was very sorry to Madison. And she didn't want anybody else to get hurt because of her. So she had to end up killing herself so that she wouldn't be a bargain for Troy to manipulate or use Madison and the crew. And I just think that was very nice. But that did do a lot on Daniel, because Daniel was very mad at Madison for even letting her, for making her, or he thought she made her go, but she didn't. It was her choice, but, you know, anyways. And I just think that made Daniel's and Madison's relationship part, because Daniel felt like it was her fault. But, and then Madison realizes, like, oh, snap, like, I kind of feel sorry.
Honestly, let's do a quick little detour. Let's talk about Daniel. Because this season, and we've seen it in other seasons, but this season, to me, he was the biggest hypocrite.
Yes, very.
The biggest hypocrite.
Very, because he was talking about putting people in danger. When he put so many people in danger, he was blaming everybody for Ophelia's and Charlie's death. When really, it was, I mean, yes, they had part of it, but it was no one specifically fault on how they all died.
And I don't even think everybody had part in it. Her death is solely because of him.
Yeah.
And the reason it goes back to that,
like the butterfly effect.
It was literally a butterfly. It's genuinely that. The reason it goes back to that is because when he set that fire at the, I don't know what it was called, but the estate in Mexico, when he set the fire there, everybody thought he was dead. Nobody knew who he was. His daughter went into a Great Depression, abandoned everybody, got caught up by that interesting
guy.
It was the that dude, that white man. It was Troy's dad. It was Troy's dad. So he got caught up by Troy's dad, who was like this big time like racist. But he got caught up by them and took in he left her. He did leave her, and the native dude came back and saved her.
Yeah.
And joined that club. So A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
Basically, if that fire would have never happened, they would have never had to leave that area. They probably still would have had to leave, though. Yeah. Honestly, they would have still had to leave. They would have still left. But they would have left that area, probably still found that ranch, and the positivity of that, they all would have been together.
Yeah.
That means she would have never joined the Native Americans in their cause, and she would have never became, I'm not going to say a pawn or tool, because I think they all genuinely did care about her, said that she was one of them, as in a friendship and alliance. But she would have never became a tool to bring down the settlement.
Yeah.
And it would have stopped so many people from becoming zombies. It would have stopped the whole thing. It would have stopped it from falling into Troy's whatever. And she basically would have been on their side since day one. So it would have prevented a lot of stuff, right? But let's just push all that to the side and go right up to the front. The day he found out his daughter was dead and didn't make it, he was ready to kill let me finish calling her Meredith. He was ready to kill Madison. Mm-hmm. He was ready to, you know, do this, do that, and third. He was even ready to beat up her son. He was ready to beat Nick. Remember, they got to that place and he locked the door behind Nick.
Oh,
and
yeah. Which,
he was like interrogating Nick. He was really finna hurt Nick just to get answers like what happened to his daughter. And so my problem with that was that he was finna go over and beyond.
For something that was not...
So something that was important to him. But when Madison does it, and it gets people hurt, mind you, we got people hurt and kind of injured with them, but when Madison does it, he just blows up like, this is what I do. I should have never found you people. Right. You people did this, you people did that, you did this and that. And it's like, no.
And then Madison ate when she was like, oh, well, we should never brought you with us on that boat. This mm-hmm. and third, yeah.
Because literally, if they would have never brought him, they would have died.
Yeah.
they would have died on that at the house, like at the house in LA. They would have died. So I just feel like, and Daniel, you can see in his eyes, he had a big moment of realization that, number one, I shouldn't have said that, but number two, y'all right. Like his pride is very strong, and we've seen that literally the first time we've seen him in the first episode, with him in it. But his pride is very strong. I feel like, despite how much Daniel is just that man and how much amazing he is, it blinds him sometimes. It makes him not see what needs to be seen, and specifically how he acts and his characteristics and his actions with that. And so I truthfully really enjoyed how he was basically checked this season. And it just made it all the better for me. Oh, we can't forget about Troy, because he's a very big part in this season. So you go ahead and open us up about it.
Okay, so Troy, we left off with Troy went back in Mexico at the little water gate or whatever it was. It was Troy Madison, and I forget the full reason, but I think Madison had just found out that he had got some other people killed that she didn't like. I forget the full reason, but basically he got people killed, and she had her breaking point with him. It was like, no, like, you're dangerous. Can't have you around. Like, you annoyed me. And so she hit him in the head with his hammer, dropped the hammer, went away, and then they had the whole bridge explosion, and then that. And we didn't know, well, we thought that Troy was dead, but obviously he was not. You see him get, like,
swooped off by the water and everything. Yeah,
his little section where he was at. But apparently someone came to save him, which was this woman, and we'll talk about that later. But anyways, he came back or whatever, and he wanted revenge on Madison.
So
that's why he came back.
His revenge on Madison was kind of like a double-ended sword in, like, ways of, like, basically he was trying to kill two birds with one stone. He wanted to take Padre over.
Right.
To, number one, bring his daughter there, which, yes, he had a daughter. The mother of his child was the woman who saved him. Yeah. We'll get more into that later in the episode. But he wanted to take it over so his daughter has a safe place to stay. Mm-hmm. And number two, he wants to make Alicia suffer. He wants to make Alicia suffer. Not Alicia.
Madison.
Well, she's in this too. We'll get to that later. But he wants to make Madison suffer. And him and Madison have a very weird relationship, number one.
Because first, he was like obsessed with her.
I mean, you thought it was like a love obsession.
Yeah.
And then it went from like, okay, motherly, it's giving mother obsession. Yeah. Like he sees a mother in her and really wants her to be a mother. And she's like, no. But then also she has a weird dynamic with him. I'm not going to say obsession, but she has a weird dynamic with him. From when she seen he was broken, she was so convinced that she could work with this, move with this, chug with this. When her kids was like, no, we got to get him, we got to get scooting, we got to get him out of here. She's like, no, this could be good for us. We can work toward it. We can work this. And once she started seeing how crazy he was, especially at night, he tried to kill her.
Yeah.
It's like something clicked in her brain that made her just as crazy. Like, literally. And so she goes through bouts throughout this whole period of time from Texas to the current time and season of this season, of trusting him, not trusting him, and then finally wanting to kill him. Because for me, we actually seen him turn like a whole new chapter, and he started to be positive after the whole ranch went down.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he messed up a little bit here and there, but it was nowhere near how destructive her own son was being at the time.
Yeah.
Because he was just being reckless, crazily reckless. But the fact that she was ignoring that and just seeing every little thing that Troy did as a problem and just decided, no, gonna kill him. It's the best for all.
Mm-hmm.
It just came back to bite her in the butt. But also, it kind of helped her too. Because without that situation, we wouldn't have I feel like we wouldn't have the ending that we had. Honestly, I truly don't feel like we would have the ending that we had. Okay, I just realized we really haven't gotten to the Padre piece and we've gotten into so many other things. So let's get into Padre really quickly. So number one, just at the back, if you haven't watched this season yet, or if you haven't watched the last season as well, Padre is basically this organization that was originally a government organization that is basically currently, at the time of last season, was being run by an individual called Padre, that we were assumed that was her name, that had Madison, and it got all the rafts from the tower explosion and all that situation. So, long story short, Padre sends out scouts or grabbers, whatever they want to call them, to go get kids, because Padre believes that kids need to be separated from their families, aka just their parents and loved ones, so they can be safer, more protected, and they can become a great tool to rebuild society.
And also so they wouldn't lose the ability to feel the sadness of their
parents. Love and sadness of connection, because Padre believes that's a way that people end up getting in a situation to get some guilt.
Yes.
Which is somewhat true, but yeah, we'll get onto that later. So, long story short, we find out in this season that one of the main villains that works for Padre, which I forgot her name, was her name Sparrow? No, Sparrow was what you call it. They had like little bird names. Yeah. I generally couldn't keep up for it for a hot second.
Yeah.
But basically his daughter. One of them was his daughter.
Strike,
that was her name.
Strike.
So Strike was our main villain. Turns out she revealed to us that she was the daughter of Padre.
Right.
So we have this big situation. Madison wants to know the truth. She breaks in and she basically gets to Padre. They break the marriage because they want to know. They want to tell all the kids the truth about their parents and everything. Yes. Because the Padre has been telling the kids that their parents abandoned them and left them and didn't want them anymore. So they break the glass. They figure out it's another youngest looking man there. So there's no way that could be her dad. Turns out that's her brother. We then get a flashback of basically how her dad never wanted Padre to be this. He was in the army. They had been safe for months.
Yes.
On this island. That's where Padre was located. That's where the site incorporation of Padre was. And long story short, he was going out on a scouting mission. His kids followed because they wanted to give him his binoculars. Yeah. Turns out it was something important in his binoculars. And the reason they were so hesitant and wanted to follow and just wanted to make sure the dad was okay is because that's how they lost their mom.
Yeah.
She went out on a scouting mission. She made a mistake somehow and didn't come back. They went on a scouting mission. They obviously get surrounded by zombies for being idiots because they had no training in this.
Yeah. And the dad had to sacrifice himself. And died right in front of them. And that's why they wanted the other kids to not feel that trauma of losing a parent.
Because they connected them being so worried and so loved for an individual. They felt that they were in wrong. They were in fault for getting their dad dead, which low-key they were because they would have never been in that situation. If they never would have been there, their dad would have had time to get out and everything. So they felt that guilt. And that was their whole purpose. And that was feeling it behind Padre. So with Troy being back, it caused a lot of kind of shock and awe moments, honestly. So Troy ended up taking the hotel that Victor was controlling. Don't question how Victor stays in sources of power. It's honestly amazing that man can do what that man does.
No, it's I don't even know. It's just weird. It's how.
Like, one thing about that man is you'll never see him fully down. Mm-hmm. You'll never see him fully down. He has a whole husband.
Right.
A whole son. Which, luckily and pleasantly, I shouldn't say luckily, this is the most genuine relationship I've seen him have since the first season.
Right.
Which we haven't seen him have many relationships, but like, this is the most genuine, like, friendship, relationship vibes. Like, even with Madison, even though he was down for him, he abandoned him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He was not abandoning Klaus. He was going back for his man and his son. Mind you, they have been together longer, like peacefully together in an environment longer than him and Madison have been, and their family, they've been going for ups and downs, but they have been living relatively peacefully for 10 years because there was a big time jump in this season. It was a 10-year time jump, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
It was around 10 years. Because Mo was a baby.
Yeah.
And she was about 10, 12 when she was. So it was 10 years. It's been a 10-year time jump. So, which I actually surprisingly really enjoyed. It gave us a lot of perspective, a lot of details, and it allowed our characters to live relatively in peace for a long time, which is nice in the series of The Walking Dead, in the universe of that. It's very nice, actually. So, long story short, Troy ended up taking over the hotel that Victor, or what was his name currently that he was using?
Anton.
Because he says he's getting a new identity. He's really just the Miley Cyrus of the world. He says, I'm going to be head of Montana now. But they end up taking over the hotel, right? All the citizens of the hotel, which were a whole bunch of tourists from Germany originally, ended up going to Padre. Madison took them in. That was the whole tea, so they're saving Padre. So he takes over the hotel. So after Madison finds out that basically Charlie killed her son, because Madison didn't know who killed her son. She just knew her son died. She didn't know that, but it hurt her 10 times worse when she figured out that Charlie was responsible for it, because she felt as though Charlie was the reason that, well, her letting Charlie in was the reason that her baseball stadium idea plummeted, which in and of itself, butterfly effect, it kind of was. So she blames herself for that. She blames herself for that's the reason her kids got separated. Mm-hmm. That's the reason she had to work with Padre, so forth and so on, right? And she feels like she would never let that happen. Both her kids will still be alive, right? We get through that. She basically tells her, you know how you can make this up to me? Because Charlie Kaiser tries to go up to her and tell her, like, I'm really sorry. I've really done a lot of growing. I really try to be a better person. Alicia forgave me before what happened to her. Like, everybody here has seen me grow and seen that I truly did regret what I did. Right? And I don't fault Charlie in this whatsoever. Really, she was a scared child. Nick killed the only person to her that was seen as family at that time. Because she didn't remember her parents that much, honestly. Yeah. So she really only had those people who were willing to put her in jeopardy to be the only family figures to her. And they didn't abuse her in any way that we know of.
They just sacrificed her a lot.
Yeah. People. So to her, she had no reason to be, you know, fearful of them. And they seemed as a great spot. So when she seen Nick kill basically her guardian, it really spoke volumes to her, and she just kind of got scared and shot in revenge.
Yeah.
She regretted that, and she grew from that, and that's why Charlie's one of my favorite characters in this show. She's one of my favorites. She is. Now, she's not my favorite. Alicia's my favorite, but she's one of my favorite. Because I really loved how she's one of the individuals that we actually see go from an uphill decline from being a villain. We don't see many people who were originally villains in this series could become on our good side, really. So after that happened, she says, Madison basically gives her a task. Madison gives her a task. Basically, I will know that what you were telling me is true if you go and kill Troy.
Yeah.
If you make our Troy problem disappear, I'll consider you, everything you just told me about you being a trans person, everything, to be somewhat true. She says, fine, deal, no problem. She goes out there, Troy and them catch her before she can do anything. They get her inside of the hotel. Long story short, Madison feels bad. For making her do that. And she tries to go back and stop it. She tries to make clarification. She tries to justify all of that. Try to get Charlie back. Charlie's like, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Because Troy was like, either we're going to give her back once you give us the information. We'll give her back if you give us information. Or she's not getting back at all. She was like, nope, not letting it happen. I don't want you to give up or do something bad in the name of me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that on me. I'm truly a trans person. All I want to do is help people, and I want to prove that. So Charlie ended up killing herself with a single gunshot to the head, specifically so she could not be used as bait anymore, because number one, she wanted to prove to Madison that what she said was true, and number two, she didn't want her life being saved, being a consequence of hurting other people. She did not want that. So that's why I feel like out of everybody, she has been one of the main people to really grow. She has. And I really feel like Alicia would have did something very similar to that. I really do. Because Alicia was ready to give her life up so many times to help other people.
Yeah.
And she ended up, like, that's what happened in the story, so we're told.
Charlie dying affected Daniel's and Madison's relationship a lot, because Daniel saw Charlie as a daughter figure after losing Ophelia. And so, as well as Luciana was his daughter figure. So basically, Charlie's death affected Daniel a lot, because he felt it was specifically Madison's fault of her death, which was a little bit, but it was not like fully her like choice or whatever. And so Daniel going back to Luciana when they all got back together or whatever, he did not want to go with Madison. He did not want to help Madison. He wanted to just basically hold a hard, big grudge on Madison, because he felt that it was her fault that his daughter figure had died, and he didn't want to go without another, which was Luciana.
We cannot forget about June. June this season was just, in my opinion, very straightforward and semi-ruthless. And one of the big things about her this season is that, truthfully, to be fair, I thought after losing John, and after killing
that little girl, Mama.
What's her name? It starts with a G. I think it was actually
Jenny.
I think it was Jenny. After killing Jenny, I thought she was gonna go on like on the rails and Loki try to run away and stuff like that after everything went south, after finding what you call his dad after the bunker situation. Well, actually before the bunker situation, then I was kind of proud to know that after the bunker situation, during the bunker situation, she was getting better in the sense like she was less trying to run away. But she still has some issues because she still tried to trap him in there, like she was telling lies, she didn't want to leave, etc. Of John number one, his dad. But this season, I really liked how she was taking the matter of getting revenge upon herself. Basically, long story short, Padre used June to conduct experiments because they realized that radiation might be the cure to the zombie disease. And it went south because a kid got bit and June just wanted to put her out of her misery after the testing. And they were like, no, keep doing this. So she basically was torturing this girl, trying to save her life, though. But she was torturing this girl with this treatment, and it ended up not working. And it was very hard on her mentally for that. Yeah. And what really, really, really sucked is that this ended up hurting somebody's child who was very dear to her. And we'll get into that into the next episode, because we're going to be talking about families that have grown over this span. But it really, really did affect her. And she really just went into this beast mode of just like, I'm not going to continue allowing forces in my life to kind of dictate everything I do. Despite what's going on, I'm going to get down there and do what I can to help and prevent it no matter what it costs me. And I really do appreciate that, because old June would have ran. Would have ran for the hills.
Yep.
Just the mid-June after losing Dory, I mean her husband, she would have kind of blacked out and probably started killing people.
Yeah.
Only people who were necessary for it. This June just didn't go out killing people. She just didn't go out hurting people, because she could have hurt all those guards. She was basically going out collecting fingers or trigger finger and stuff like that, just to be a sign and a witness. And also, once they lost that finger, it was very hard for them to pull, use guns and stuff like that. So she was basically crippling them a little bit in the sense of in this world and day and age, what that means for that. And she could have hurt people. She could have been killing them one by one. But she didn't, and this was just a big growth for her. And I really like this version of June. And I'm so happy nothing bad happened to her. Y'all, my biggest issue in this, going into the season, I was so scared they were going to kill off so many of my faves.
Yeah.
And because they were not scared to do that with the original cast. We have lost, 90% of the original, I say around 90% of the original cast. Mm-hmm. We lost Nick. We lost Madison's husband. We lost Madison's husband's son. Madison's husband's ex-wife.
They weren't really like...
I'm going to call them main. They were original main characters. They were part of the first season. They had integral parts
in the first episode.
I would say. He had a big part. We spent a whole couple of episodes on him. Yes, it was with his dad, but it was still mainly on him. So I would call him a main character.
Okay.
So him. Who else did we lose?
Chris's mom.
I said that. Chris's mom. Oh. We lost Daniel's whole family, basically.
Yeah.
Even though his wife wasn't that important, but she was important at the point of the time of the story. But we lost his whole family.
But that's normal.
I know, but like out of the, what, 6 to 7 to 8 people we started with, because I might be missing one or two, we only ended up with 2, Victor and Madison.
Well, yeah. In The Walking Dead, we started out with a whole group, like 7, 8 people, and only ended with 2.
That is fair. But I don't know. In The Walking Dead, they never gave a lot of those main characters, and I've watched it before when it first came out, obviously episodes ended, and I started rewatching it with you again a little bit. None of those characters really gave main character, except for the ones that are still around today. That is Daryl, Rick, Michonne.
I think it's because everyone that wasn't Rick or Shane or, the main people, I think they all had a very, equal amount of screen time. Like, they had their own missions, but they weren't, as important to the story at that moment than Rick and Shane and the rest of them.
That's fair. Because I also feel as though in Fear of the Walking Dead, each character that we got in the beginning of the season was very integral to the story.
Yeah.
Without Victor, we wouldn't have a means for our people to survive, for our main cast, our main cast to survive. So his storyline was very important.
They made their important characters immediately. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And I, because I feel like in the first couple of seasons, well, the first season of Walking Dead and the second season, roughly, a lot of their quote unquote main characters were just highly elevated secondary characters. Like, they really weren't that important, because again, we can kill them off and it won't damage the story.
Yeah.
And that's why I consider everybody that's alive now, because if you really think about it, all the people that really felt like characters for the most part, full-on main characters, they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
We got Maggie, we got, because we met her in the first season, I think, we got second season, first and second season, Maggie, we got Merle, we got Daryl,
yeah,
we got Rick, Michonne,
and that's it.
Carol. We got Carol.
Oh, Carol, yeah.
Because she was a very rich call. And those are all main characters to me. And that's why I feel like since they're still alive, we know how many main characters do we have? Two.
But it was out of our original group.
I know, but it was a bigger group filled with filler characters.
Yeah.
In our big group, really the only filler characters, if we're going to be fair, the only filler characters we really had was Travis's original wife. Because she was there for literally, we seen her the first episode. She died a couple episodes later. It was very quick and simple with her.
Yeah.
And, Daniel's wife, she got hurt, she was in story with wife and died.
The scientist that helped them in like the first or second season,
the scientist,
yeah, she like sacrificed herself to help them get out.
She was already a secondary character. She wasn't really with the main, she was always with the opposing, so I just already knew it wasn't going to go great for her. I was hoping it would, and I thought they were building up for her to be a little bit more of a main character, so I was kind of disappointed about that. But yeah, but anyway, out of the main cast, how many characters is that were fillers? Just three. And we lost everybody else that we thought were going to be long-term very quickly. Whereas in The Walking Dead, they had a lot of filler characters in, but yet we still have basically our main majority of our whatchacallit characters. The only real like main characters that we lost have been Carl. I guess we'll say Carl's mom, even though she was just extended for Carl. Glenn.
I guess.
And the people on the farm, I would say the dad. All the kids in the settlements was not. Most of the kids were literally just there to cause problems.
Shane,
I'm not going to count because I don't consider him a hero. Because literally since day one of we seeing him. Not day one, about day two.
Him to live.
Yeah, like, I can get them. That, what you call it. But I think he was our number one villain from day one. He was a person that was caused that threatened to kill Rick since we first started watching in season one. So he was our villain of that season or of the beginning of the show. He was just an undercover villain. So I don't consider him a main character in the sense of like people we need to root for. He's our villain. So him being dead or alive doesn't change that for me. So I don't count him into that. Herschel, that's why I said their dad, the farm people's dad. Yeah. So he was one of the main characters that we lost.
Beth. Maggie's sister.
I was going to say, not all. I wasn't going to classify all of her siblings. Because number one, she had
Well, only Beth.
Only Beth? Okay. Because the rest of them were just there, and they were only used, like...
T-Dog.
Okay. Was a big part. But again, I felt like they were very huge on filler.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You, in the first season, the first couple of seasons, you couldn't, like... They were all fillers, other than Rick. Like... All of them could have died any moment and nothing would have
happened. I don't think Carl could.
Carl. Yeah, not Carl.
I don't think Carl could.
His wife, yeah, I think she could have died and that wouldn't have done much.
Because I think his wife dying, sure, that would hurt him. Carl dying, I feel like, he would have lost his motivation.
Yeah, he would have just ended it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So him and Carl, we were the only ones that were like, we were determined that they weren't going to die. The rest of them, we barely got any Daryl. We barely got any Carol. They were like...
I'm not going to lie. Daryl, when he was in the scene, he was very much a survival instinct. Like, he's one of those characters that really prove that they're going to be a survival one. Like, they're not going down unless they go down on their type terms.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, ever since season one, I never took him as somebody who was going to get got easily. I've always seen him as somebody who's going to out
because when last. He was very vulnerable about his brother, he was willing to go back after they said that it was mad crowded by zombies. He's willing to go back and could have, so he didn't know that he would be in trouble. And also, when he went out going on this whole rant looking for Carol's daughter, he nearly died. He got shot by what's her name? The blonde one that's mad annoying her. He got shot by her and he almost died. He like hit his head. And almost died with zombies. So he was very like a vulnerable person in the very like beginning of the show.
So more reckless. He was just a little more reckless.
Well, yeah, more reckless. He wasn't like very
watchful.
Yeah.
I can get that. But still, from the original cast, we still left with the majority of them. Like, out of the grand scheme of things, like the main make, we're left with the majority. They left us with two in the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
They left us with two of them. And also, me and you were talking about that. The first two seasons of The Walking Dead felt like the events happened over three seasons. Because we thought the farm thing happened a long time. Like, it was on a longer period of time. We was Googling everything. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I thought they were on the farm for months.
I thought not for months.
I was gonna at least say like 2 months. I thought they were on farm for like a long period of time.
Yeah, about a month and a half. Yeah,
but it turns out they were only there for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
if I'm not mistaken, didn't barely even hit 1 month. I think it wasn't even really 1 month. Yeah. They were there and then they had to leave. And also, that's what was confusing us, because his wife, Rick's wife, started to show really quickly.
Yeah,
she went from not showing nothing to just being a couple weeks looking like she's gonna pop.
Right.
Then she popped a couple weeks later.
But we don't know how long they were out in the woods.
True. That's fair. The only That's fair.
Time we didn't know.
But still, it was, the baby had to be born a little bit early, in my opinion.
Yes, she was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, that was my little thing. I just truly feel like, I don't know. To me, I felt like Fear the Walking Dead was written so much better because I finished that show. I didn't finish Walking Dead. I just feel like it was written a lot better, and generally the twists and turns did keep me on my toes, because one thing about the Fear the Walking Dead, they were not scared to kill your favorite characters or you thought were gonna live. Because you could not have told me that Travis would have died. I felt like
Travis was gonna die, because in the first
at least season, not that soon compared to this,
he was gonna die.
If you're gonna tell me that this show was gonna last 8 seasons, I would have not believed you said he was gonna die within the first, what it was, like 3 seasons roughly.
Yeah.
I would not believe that. I would have said okay, maybe season 5 season 6. I was surprised.
I just didn't really see Travis as like a big character, Loki.
And Nick, I knew he was going to die because they were building him up as being invincible. But the way they were building him up as being invincible, I just thought
I knew he would die, but not like that. Like, I thought he would die doing some. Well, he did die doing something.
Weirdly, I thought Alicia would have died a lot sooner.
I thought Alicia was going to die.
I thought she was going to die a lot sooner.
Her like character build up was low-key crazy.
Because her man, she was just like, come on, with her man, yeah, or somebody she loved to get care. She was like, oh, I can't leave you.
Right.
Madison.
She was in so much danger in the first couple seasons.
Madison, I'm not going to lie, the first episode, I thought she was not going to make
yeah,
it. Because she was trying to hug zombies.
Yeah.
She was trying to hug zombies.
She was like, oh, I can help you.
But as soon as she wrapped her head around it, I knew deep down she was going to be an end goal girl. And she was.
Yeah.
And she was. Daniel, I never for a second, for some reason, thought he was going to pass.
Yeah, no.
I never.
Never.
I thought I knew he was going to be fine. I was, not going to lie, semi-surprised by his daughter. I thought his daughter would have made it. I thought if anybody out of two of them going to die, I thought he was going to die for her. I thought that was what that situation was going to be.
I feel like we didn't know enough about Ophelia.
I feel like her character flipped a lot, too. Because she went from, like, being this optimistic girl of, like, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, da-da-da-da-da, to, like, after, and I know her dad died, her thinking that her dad died was a very big, like, brain chemistry-changing moment. But, number one, there's no proof that your dad died. She thought he was alive, you've been looking for him, but let's be honest, we're in a big country in the middle of nowhere that we've never been in before. Mm-hmm. We don't know where these people could have got it. We don't know where he was at. We didn't even know where we were at. So you just have suspicion that your dad is dead. There's no actual evidence. You're just suspecting that. And the fact that she just went whole 360, because again, she went from a very optimistic girl to, he's dead. Now I need to go out here and do this on my own.
Yeah.
Like that just, I don't know. Like I always felt like it was a little too quick. I never thought it was out of her character's ability to do, but I just thought it happened way too soon.
Yeah.
But I think that's all of our thoughts now. Next week, we will hopefully get into some of the more family aspects of this season. But until then, we'll see you then. You can catch me on all social medias at Ezra Royal with 2 L's at the end of Royal. And you can catch Hull's Frights pretty much almost anywhere at Hull's Fright. Yeah.
And you can catch me at heaven.williams with 2 M's in the Williams.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.